live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Good morning, Tuesday morning, 6:10, the Steve Cochran Show for a Tuesday. Dave Bennett here. Andrea Darlis is not here. She's on vacation for a while. And want to thank everybody, and especially our friend Dr. Kevin Most, for hosting us yesterday at the Northwestern Memorial Foundation golf outing at beautiful Medina Country Club. Had a great day out there. Mary, we were, Steve and I had the good fortune of playing with Pat Brady yesterday, and he was hitting the ball very well. So it was good to see him.
Good
to spend a day on the golf course.
Doc Most was sending me mocking pictures because they had asked me to play as well, but I couldn't because my husband had a commitment that I had to be a good wife for. And so he's like, this is what you're missing. Doc Most is like sending me photos of all you guys on the golf course and then after having the best time ever, it looked like.
Well, pretty much. Pat and I actually got off to a good start, and then Steve showed up, and immediately our score came. But actually, we had a pretty good day. We had a great day out there, and a lot of fun, and a great cause. And Steve emceed the auction with his usual aplomb last night. So thanks again to everyone there for a wonderful day. And you were at the event. We talked to Will Shields, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, yesterday about the event at the Glen Club. You were there.
I was there. Yeah, my husband was the MC, so I got to see
Who's your husband?
My husband, Pat Boyle, NBC Sports.
NBC Sports Chicago?
Yeah. That guy? Yep, he does it every year. And so I got to be there. I got to meet Randy Moss. He is amazing. Those Hall of Famers are pretty impressive. But the side perk was Patrick Sharp was playing golf there yesterday. And
just so happened.
So you had Randy Moss and Patrick Sharp.
I did. And
wow.
And you know something, Patrick Sharp is very charming to the ladies. I was standing there at the cocktail hour, and he wasn't a part of the event, but he came over. I know him only because my husband, not for any other reason. But he came over and he said, I saw you standing there and I have to give you a hug.
Ooh.
And so everyone's like, how do you know him? I felt very cool. Like,
and you just hugged him, Mary.
Yeah, I hugged him.
He was sweaty. You don't like to hug people.
I know. But when Patrick Sharp comes over to give you a hug, it's pretty.
So that's okay that he violates the no hug zone.
It was. And he did a good job. He didn't like, it wasn't like a full body press. It was kind of just like a shoulder.
Like a man hug?
Yeah, it was. It was
awkward.
Yeah, so.
Bears represented there as well?
Bears a representative. Tom Thayer was there. Mm-hmm. And George McCaskey was there. And I was talking to him. He was asking Pat and I how we met. And we said, you know, basically through work, which is true. And he said that he and his wife, they met through work. They were both news anchors in Peoria because he used to be a broadcaster. And so they sat next to each other at desks. And he was scared to ask her out at the time. So what he did was he invited her to go spend his clothing allowance that you used to get back then, you know, for suits. Mm-hmm. So they went to a suit store in Peoria, and that was their first date. And they've been married like 30-some, you know, some long amount of years. So
very romantic.
It was very romantic. I thought it was cute. So to share that with George McCaskey. But it was a great event. So,
well, good. Well, busy show coming up this morning. And, of course, giving away that Chevy Silverado.
I need to drive that truck. I was thinking, today is my stepdaughter's 8th grade graduation.
Well, there's a perfect reason to drive it.
Because I have to take the girls to hair appointments and nail appointments.
Wait, for 8th grade graduation, hair appointments?
Oh, yeah, they're all getting blowouts.
Mary, no.
I mean, Mary, it's not. It's a bigger thing that's bigger than me. They got spray tans yesterday.
This is not a dance, right?
It's just a graduation? No, it's 8th grade graduation. But it's almost, from what I'm told, they're making a bigger deal out of 8th grade now than they do of the high school. I don't know.
Is it a Catholic school?
It's not Catholic.
So they're not going to see the tans. They're going to have gowns on.
No, they don't wear gowns. All the girls wear white dresses, short white dresses. But not too short, but that's what they wear. So they needed spray tans. So it's if I had that, got to use that Centennial Silverado, I could pile them all into the car and do
not
it in
after
one swoop.
A spray tan. You don't want them sitting there.
Well, hopefully it's dry by today. Yeah. But and that this event, so we're meeting for pictures at like 4:30, but the graduation isn't until 7:00. Like what?
And, then you can feed them some pasta with the white dresses on.
Oh yeah, you're That'll supposed to good. Send them with a snack. That's what they said. Oh, so geez. Because they go right to a party right after graduation. So anyway, it's very exciting.
And then they get goodie bags.
Yeah.
The last eighth grade graduation I went to, it's been a few years, was my niece, and I remember it was Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final in 2010, the Blackhawks in Philadelphia, and everybody's got their just trying to very discreetly hold their phones in their laps and so they can follow the game
and
in the early
it.
Going. Well, I don't even think it was being streamed, but I think it was,
wasn't around. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it was just following like game tracker and trying to keep track of it. And then there was a party afterwards at a restaurant. Everyone's gathered around the TVs watching the game. And of course, that's the game where Kane scored in overtime.
Oh.
The Blackhawks won the cup. You can only imagine. Maybe the eighth graders weren't the center of attention that night.
I'm
sorry to say.
That
seems kind of unfair.
Yeah, when game 6 of a Stanley Cup final.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Once again, Modest Dave doing himself a disservice. You hit some great shots yesterday. Thanks. I felt pretty good about it. Not like you. I mean, and we were.
I lost my swing. First few holes played well, and then all of a sudden I couldn't play golf anymore.
Yeah, but then you were hitting it well at the end. But
I don't know.
It was a great day and a great cause.
Emil Esposito. Of course, your guru.
he has become my swing guru.
We're at the Glen Club.
Yep.
All right, we got to get the top 6 at 6. Let's do that right now.
Just played the intro, buddy.
Oh, just missed it. I thought that was the bump because I wasn't paying attention to my own show.
Now that I think about it, that was the
intro.
That
was the intro,
yes.
Wasn't it? Yeah, that's good. Item number one, Bob Mueller's team is accusing ex-Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort of witness tampering. You know the WhatsApp app?
Yes, I use it all the time.
Apparently, Paul Manafort used the WhatsApp app to try to persuade witnesses to not cooperate. Who possibly could know that? How could anyone possibly have access to WhatsApp? Genius move. If you're someone who is approaching 70, I would say if you're someone over 50 and you're committing a crime, before you try to use technology to commit that crime, consult the nearest 9-year-old and ask them, is this something that's going to get me into bigger trouble?
Or just do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, right. You go over and you talk to somebody, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Or just obey your bail conditions and don't tamper with a witness.
Wait a minute. Are you saying do the right thing?
Do the right thing.
That would be an idea.
Right.
Paul Manafort, Mueller's folks, Bob Mueller specifically, reportedly want, and this is not a good quote for Manafort, they want Mueller in jail immediately. That's a bad day. Next. President Trump has called off the Philadelphia Eagles visit to the White House over the anthem dispute. There's a lot of theories on this. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it. It basically comes down to the fact that a lot of the Eagles were not going to show up. And size matters when it comes to Donald Trump.
The Philadelphia Inquirer says fewer than 10 Philadelphia Eagles players were planning to attend.
Right. And interestingly enough, the White House says they're canceling it because of the Philadelphia Eagles joining many in the NFL who refused to stand for the national anthem. 0 Philadelphia Eagles kneeled during the national anthem.
That's correct.
None.
You know, there may be another reason for this, too, Steve. I don't know if you saw the tweet from the press secretary or the chief of staff of the mayor of Philadelphia after the celebration of the win.
Mm-hmm.
With a picture of the inauguration and a picture of the crowds in Philadelphia.
Oh, crowd size.
Crowd size. So I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Well, the other thing, too, is the distraction piece. the distraction piece from yesterday where it was made clear that the White House had lied, not just about the memo that came out over the weekend, but about, you know, any number of things. And then the Manafort story came out. So what happens when there's a damaging story? You try to distract wherever you can. But just, you know, again, we're just dealing in facts here. And the facts are that none of the Eagles have kneeled. None of them. So the kneeling really isn't the issue, then, is it, Mr. President? Next. Howard Schultz, the outspoken chairman of Starbucks, is going to retire at the end of the month. He's frequently mentioned as a possible Democratic presidential candidate in 2020. A few business executives have gone on to become president. I can only think of one.
That's right.
Would you vote for Howard Schultz if you're a Democrat? Would you vote for Howard Schultz if you're a moderate? Would you vote for Howard Schultz if you're a Republican?
Would you get free Starbucks?
I think that's the incentive, right? Everybody yeah. that votes for me, right?
And how about this campaign slogan? Coffee in every pot.
My, look at you.
See what I did there?
Tying the old to
right.
the new.
Yeah.
You know, I told Senator John McCain when Barack Obama was up by, on the old afternoon show here, Barack Obama was up by, I don't know, 10 points fairly late in the race. I said, here's what you do, Senator. I said, you need young people to come out and vote. They are all in for Barack Obama. Here's what you got to do. You take all the campaign money you have left. Don't buy a single commercial. But go to every college town in America and make it nickel beer night the night before Election Day, but only if they agree to get up the next day and vote. And he actually had a great point because he's very smart. He's Senator McCain.
Yes.
He said, don't you think I ought to do that Tuesday, Steve, after they vote? They all bring me their stickers, and then they get the nickel beer night.
Yeah, that might be better.
Yeah. That's why he's McCain. Next, McDonald's officially opened their headquarters in Chicago, leaving the Oak Brook campus behind. This has been a fairly quiet story, considering the, you know, just the tax base impact, I would think, on Oak Brook. But the downtown location is opening up, and I've not been over there since they've started to build the building. But the west side, the near west side, is famous for not having high rises that are view obstructing and different things. And I don't know how you get that entire Oak Brook campus, or the majority of it, into the confined space of downtown. Do you guys know anything about this?
I've driven by it a few times, but
is it a high rise? It's on the old Oprah spot, isn't it?
Yeah, and the old Harpo Studios.
Yeah,
but I haven't really noticed the height. There's so much construction in the West Loop. I mean, it's really, there are cranes everywhere.
Right.
It's just exploded.
Yeah. The height is a little, it is lower than this building here at 303, but it looks wider than this building. So perhaps what it misses in height, it makes up for in width. I don't know.
The Oprah,
it looks smaller.
The Oprah building, the Harpo Studio, is a pretty big footprint there. I mean, the majority of that block. But even so, if you're taking the majority of the Oak Brook campus, they're out there. What, three buildings out there? Four buildings?
Right.
And they had a ton of space out there. And they're bringing it downtown. And I don't believe, do they still have stuff in Oak Brook? I don't think so.
They trimmed a lot of staff out there before they officially made the move. So right.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that worked in Oak Brook that are here now.
They're downtown?
They were big management people, and they're here. They're adjusting because they were there for a long time.
Isn't it a logical question, though, on the space thing? What am I missing here? If you take a lot of space and you put it into a smaller space, you got to figure out somehow to make use of the space.
Unless there was wasted space.
They could go underneath.
You think there's an underground McDonald's headquarters?
Ooh.
Perhaps.
Oh, that's where the Hamburglar lives. Next. A sneezing fit while talking to Siri somehow caused an I-65 tanker rollover near Crown Point. Let's go to Mary Vandeveld. She's in Crown Point right now. Huh? I don't get this story. What happened? What happened, Mary? What happened?
What happened?
A sneezing fit while talking to Siri caused an I-65 tanker rollover near Crown Point. Let's go to Steve, who's your co-reporter in Crown Point. Steve.
I'm here in Crown Point, and this is a really tragic accident, Steve. How many of us have actually sneezed while we're driving? Now imagine talking to Siri driving and sneezing all at the same time.
Well, what does Siri say? Bless you?
She does say bless you, yes.
But okay. Does Siri's heart stop? Because when you sneeze, your heart stops
momentarily? And you blink.
That's a myth. That does not happen.
Okay, but Siri doesn't have a heart, does she?
Oh, Siri must have a heart. You Apple people love her.
In this case, she said bless you and then oops.
Okay, so he lost control. He really didn't have anything to do with Siri. Lost control of the truck. Sneezed and lost control of the truck.
I could see that.
But if he had Siri in his hand, I don't see. That's what's not clear is whether or not he was holding the phone. Or she was holding the phone? Or
so the driver, the driver was holding the phone.
Which would have exacerbated the fact that you, when you sneeze, your eyes close and you may have
lose control.
Right, right. So that's what I'm thinking. It doesn't make it clear whether she was holding the phone or not.
And finally, the White Sox have taken Oregon State infielder Nick Madrigal with the number 4 pick. What do we know?
21 years old from Oregon State, very highly regarded in middle infielder. Interesting to see where he plays and how quickly he makes it to the major leagues. But this is the latest in a line of prospects looking for a chance with the White Sox. And
one of the deepest farms in the big leagues, right?
And you look at their recent first-round picks. I mean, Jake Berger got hurt this year, so kind of a lost year for him from an injury standpoint. But they've been stockpiling these first-rounders, Steve, and this guy's good. He was a Pac-12 Player of the Year. He was a finalist for the Golden Spikes Award, which is like the Heisman for college baseball. And
is he a graduate now, or is he still in school?
He's a junior.
Okay.
So we
don't know if he's leaving school or not. He may finish.
Oh, I think he's going to be.
He's leaving
the White
school.
Sox, I believe so. And
where do those guys go? Do they go double A initially, or even single, or even farther?
They
down?
Usually go to like the Arizona Fall League, and they kind of start out there,
and then maybe double A, single A.
Then they go to Class A, and there's High A, there's Low A, then there's double A, then there's Triple A.
In a normal situation, 2019 would be realistic, but considering the state of the White Sox and the heavy rebuild they're in, maybe he comes up this year for just a look.
I would doubt that. I would strongly doubt that.
Well, you don't know Nick like I know Nick.
And you do know Madrigals.
That's your top six.
That's all today for the top six and six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
That's the close. We just played the close there.
Okay. That was, yeah.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
We got to goose the WGNRadio.com website a little bit. Photos, more images of WGN Radio's final days in the Tribune Tower. It's not a funeral. It's a real estate deal. Spike Odell will be on later this morning to talk about some memories working in this historic building.
You know what it's like? I figured it out.
What's
last
that?
Night. Or in the middle of the night, I'm laying there thinking about the hallways now. I went up to my old office yesterday, which is still being used. And it's like when you are taking the last final in school,
yep.
But everyone else moved out of the dorm like 5 days earlier because their finals were done. You're
that's
the last
a good analogy.
Left,
that's right? A good analogy. The paper moves when? Do we know? Do we know when the Tribune leaves?
Pretty soon, I think, but I don't know the date.
At the Sandberg, weren't you on the third floor? Isn't it like a complete, it looks like a hurricane blew through there? It's just a mess of boxes and debris.
So I think I was on the fourth floor, and all the lobby furniture and things had tags on them, you know, for a move. However, when I went to see Rick Kogan at his desk, because I was giving him the new building pass, there's not one thing has been packed. And it started stressing me out because there's
because it's Kogan's desk.
Right. And so I don't know how long they've been at that desk, but writers in general are pack rat type people.
Yeah, they found Royko was in that pile.
Piles everywhere. And I said, you're going to need some help here. And he didn't have any time for that comment.
Nah.
I was on the third floor.
So the newsroom, is it all boxed up?
Well, I was just looking for stuff to steal.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, that's different.
June 8th, by the way, will be the last day for the newspaper in the building.
Because is it 3, 4, and 5 where there are floors? No, some people are on 11 as well. I don't know. They're spread out.
I get papers tossed to me every day, and they dump them by the engineering office over here, and I go pick them up and distribute them. There was no one to distribute them.
How about that?
I was like, anybody want a paper? Oh, hi, Ben. You know.
The final days of the Ooh. Tribune Tower. And again, we wanted to stay. But the people that bought the building are mean.
Yeah. My on-air light is broke, by the way, so nobody knows if I'm on the air or not.
Your what broke?
My on-air light.
Oh, well, there's nobody up there to storm into your studio.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so yeah, that's true. Nobody's going to bop in.
If you ever wanted to shoot like a crime drama, it would be good to shoot it on the 7th floor now.
No.
Kind of spooky.
Get away from me.
At 6:46, you heard the Charlie Brown music because it's Kid of the Week, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. And we welcome to the program Grace Payton Tauber. Am I pronouncing your last name right, Grace?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Where are you headed this morning? Sounds like you're in the car.
No, I'm just in my living room.
Oh, you're at the house. Okay. Well, we got kind of a funky phone line. Grace, I just want to congratulate you quickly and say hi. I know you're a modest person. But Grace, you know Abigail Grace, my granddaughter.
Yes.
Grace is a wonderful name. But there's a little pressure that goes with the name Grace. Can you live up to the name Grace? Let me tell you about our friend Grace Tauber here. She's kind and compassionate. She plays basketball, soccer, lacrosse, and flute in the orchestra. Sings in the choir as well. How do you have time for all that, Grace?
I don't know. I have a very, very little extra time because it's like I have to go to this and then I have to go to that. And then
sure.
I'm like driving all over the place.
So when you get out, what time do you get out of school?
3 o'clock.
And I'm guessing you're going from 3 o'clock on, right? With the exception of dinner?
Yeah.
And don't you have homework you have to do as well?
I do, but I usually have from 3, I take the bus home, and then I do my homework, and then I go to my work, and then I eat dinner.
Do you like being this busy?
I don't necessarily like being this busy, but I like playing all. I like doing all the stuff that
right.
I do.
Right, that's the sacrifice, right? If you're going to do all that stuff, you're going to be busy. What about the artist part? I heard you're a pretty good artist as well. What do you do? Do you draw, paint?
I like to paint.
And what type of stuff?
It's usually just like random stuff that I just like that just popped into my head, and I just want to like put it down on canvas.
That's how art inspiration happens. Now, how old are you?
I'm 12.
Is that seventh grade?
I'm going into seventh grade.
Going into seventh grade. So what's the last thing you painted? What was it of?
I painted Hamilton.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool. Have you seen the play?
Yes.
And how great was that?
It's amazing.
It's just amazing. That's right. And the cool thing is you could be 12 and love it. You could be 82 or 92 and love it as well. Everybody loves Hamilton. And I understand you're doing pretty well grade-wise. Give me your grades. What do you got?
I think my lowest grade right now is an A or 95.
Lowest grade is an A. Not the highest grade, Dave. The lowest grade is an A. So let's review. Grace is playing basketball, soccer, lacrosse, and does flute as well. She sings in the choir. She's a talented artist. She gets A's in school. Mm-hmm. She bakes for charity. She's an altar girl at church. And you just donated a bunch of your hair for one of these Locks of Love type charities for cancer victims, right?
Yep.
I'm a pretty good kid.
That's pretty good. Which of the sports do you like the best?
Soccer.
Soccer.
Right. And do you score goals or are you more of a defender?
Well, they usually put me as a defender, but sometimes I get to go score goals.
Cool. Well, here's the thing, Grace. I think about kids who would like to do more stuff, but maybe don't have the confidence to do that and don't feel like they'd be good at it, so they shouldn't try it. What do you say to kids like that?
I think that you should just go for it and just give it a shot.
Why not, right? You don't want to be looking back and miss out, so why not try? Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and your mom and dad are Rick and Sheila, right?
Yep.
All right, well, make sure you give your dad and mom a hug. And what do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm not sure, because I have so many different options. I just don't know.
Do you have any idea what college you want to go to? Because Mr. Ennett here can get you into Northwestern. It's just one phone call.
It'd be a good choice.
I want to go to Duke.
Oh, Duke.
Duke, okay.
Duke. Well, that's no slouch school either.
No.
And do you watch Duke basketball? You know, that's what they're famous for.
Yes, every year.
And do you know how to pronounce the coach's last name?
No.
No one does.
Just K.
Including the coach. It's an honor to have you on the show. Congratulations. You're the kid of the week. We got some pizza for you from Lumel Nottis. We also have an Apt gift card from Apt Electronics. And you can get some new earbuds or whatever there. But anyway, thanks for being on. Thanks for being a great kid.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You have a great day.
Oh.
Nice girl, huh?
Very nice. Very busy.
Listen to this schedule, man.
Wow.
She gets out of school. She plays basketball, soccer, lacrosse, and she plays flute and sings in the choir. All right, flute and sings in the choir. That probably goes on all year, right?
You would think.
Okay, basketball the fall, mm-hmm. soccer the spring, What would lacrosse be, spring or fall? Could be either.
I think it could be either.
Yeah, and soccer could be either.
Yeah.
Soccer's fall.
It's definitely fall?
Well, in high school.
Well, she's about to be in seventh grade,
yeah,
so I don't know if it's different
grade
then.
School. Yeah.
And she also takes time to paint. I love that.
Yeah.
I've got 4 extra minutes.
Well, maybe that's
I'm going to paint the Mona Lisa.
But then maybe that's relaxation for her
it
painting.
Could be.
You know, that could be.
Be
therapeutic. That's probably.
Does anybody on
thing.
This show have any artistic talent?
Not really.
Not painting. I'm creative with crafts, but I can't paint. No.
I can do a profile of a dude with a big nose and a funny teeth, and I can
Who's
do stick
that?
Figures. It's just I drew out a new. There was a cartoon head. I learned how to draw when I was about 10.
Yeah, I used to be able to draw like Yogi Bear.
You could.
Yeah.
Could you do it now?
I don't know.
I'm pretty good at computer graphics. I can do computer graphics, but I can't draw freehand.
No, so really, we got, and Andrea's out of town. We don't know if she can draw or not. Joe, Super Joe, I see you as the artistic type.
Oh,
kicking
yeah.
back
oh,
with
yeah.
possibly your French beret on and your palette of paints.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty good at lying and saying that, yeah, I drew this. This is mine. Yeah, I drew it.
Sandberg, can you draw or paint anything at all? Can you do that kind of thing?
No, but I do draw things on Catherine's napkins for her lunch.
Oh, like little notes
I
and
do,
stuff?
Well, I usually go always beach-themed, sun with some water.
Nice.
Like last week, I said, see ya, eighth grade, and it had a little surfer girl. So
that's a cool move.
Yeah, they're not great drawings. And then one time when she had a concert, she plays guitar, and I did a guitar. And then she told me that I did the guitar incorrectly. I put 2 holes in the guitar, and there is actually no holes.
Thanks, Mom.
I know, so.
I have, again, no artistic talent at all. But our artistic talent, our creativity, supposedly comes from just yapping.
That's right.
But, Dave, I think Sandberg would be happy to post Dave's freehand drawing picture of Yogi Bear.
If I have time. If
what
I
do
have
you mean you have time?
I don't. I haven't.
Yogi Bear. Dave will attempt to draw Yogi Bear. It'll be posted this morning. What's
and
coming?
Boo-Boo, too.
Do you do boo-boo?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you're no boo-boo.
Yogi only.
Yeah, boo-boo's home.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me. Ain't you proud of me? As you know it, please don't leave me, girl.
I mentioned Spike Odell later on as well. Monkees tickets for the Mike and Mickey show. The Monkees tickets, the Mike and Mickey show. That's Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz. For years, Mike Nesmith didn't tour with the Monkees. It was Peter Tork and Mickey Dolenz that were out there. Davy Jones died a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then now this year, Peter is not touring, but you got your Mike and Mickey. And Mickey couldn't be a nicer guy. Goofy. But, you know, we like Goofy. And they're doing a show at the Copernicus Center. So we'll give some tickets away later for that. All right, let's come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, it wasn't Penn and Teller or a really cool David Copperfield trick. Or who's the guy out in Vegas that does all the dangerous stunts? But at some point, you think he's going to disappear. Chris Angel, that guy.
That guy.
No, it wasn't any of those. But the lawmakers in Springfield got a budget done, and Governor Rauner joins us now. It was sort of like a Chris Angel trick.
It was a very good step forward for the people of Illinois. First time a budget got done on time in, I don't know how many years. And the first time in what folks have told me is about 15 years. We've got the most balanced budget that we've had in many, many years. So it's a good step in the right direction for the people of Illinois, done on a bipartisan compromise basis.
Now, here's the thing. Any great deal means everybody's not going to get everything they want. What did you give up?
Well, we didn't get the significant pension reform that we've been pushing for that actually passed. The Senate. The Senate Democrats supported it, but the House Democrats wouldn't take it up.
What a shock. Would that be Mike Madigan's house?
That would be the one and the same. We also didn't get much of the mandate relief that we need for our schools. Our schools have too many mandates, restrictions, and requirements on them. It drives up the cost and drives down the quality of the teacher's ability to do their profession well. We also didn't get the mandate relief we need for our local governments so we can lower our property taxes. We have all kinds of mandates restricting how many units of government we have and how government functions. We need the mandates off so we can lower the tax burden and grow the economy. We didn't get those things done.
What did the Democrats give up?
Well, we were able to get them to cut back $1.5 billion in extra spending that they wanted. That was a big deal. They wanted much more spending. We were able to get them to hold the line. That was a very big deal. And I applaud them for being willing to cut back and to do that. We also got them to agree on the pension reform that we did get. We did get some pension reform. We limited the spiking at the end of a career that raises pension costs. And we also got a COLA buyout system in place that is going to save about almost $500 million. So I applaud the Democrats for going along with that pension reform. And I really applaud all the General Assembly for, again, supporting my focus on education. You know, since I became governor, we've added $1.4 billion every year to increase state support for schools. That is phenomenal. I want the best schools in America in every neighborhood. We also got the new education funding formula done last year, and now we're implementing it so we can have more equity, more fairness, more equality in the funding of the schools, so lower-income schools get more money. So these were historic improvements, and I'm very proud of that. Before I became governor, the General Assembly had cut state support for schools four times in the prior 10 years. So I applaud them and thank them for supporting the education improvements that I've been advocating.
I know Majority Leader Durkin, or I should say Minority Leader Durkin in the House, was a big part of this. Who do we need to also say worked harder on the Dem side?
Well, I would applaud many of the Democratic leaders. Clearly, Speaker Madigan and President Cullerton advocated and pushed to get a balanced budget on time, and I want to thank them for that work. I want to thank Senator Bill Brady, who's the minority leader in the Republican Senate side. He did a great job of finding compromises and helping lead the negotiations. I also do want to applaud many of the budgeteers, many Democratic caucus members, rank-and-file members of the General Assembly, spent long, long days, countless hours negotiating and kind of come up with solutions. And I want to thank them very much for their bipartisan work. And, two, I'm very proud of our team. You know, Hans Zygmunt is my director of management and budget. He and his staff did an outstanding job. And they were thanked by members of the General Assembly, which I appreciate, but I personally want to give them a shout-out. They did a fantastic job analyzing the numbers, coming up with solutions, and getting the job done. They did phenomenal work.
You know, I probably have a bad phone line. I almost think I heard, and I'm sure I was wrong, I heard you say that you wanted to thank Mike Madigan. I must have a bad phone line. Is that accurate?
It's accurate. I do thank the Speaker. Okay. He advocated to get a balanced budget done on time. And he pushed his caucus members on certain key points to compromise, and I thank him. I appreciate him for that.
Kristen McQuarrie writes in the Tribune today, she doesn't want to be a party pooper, but every party needs a pooper, and that's why you invited her. And she talks about some of the problems, including the fact that we're headed for a really poor position to be number one in, and that's leading the country again in fixed costs for state worker benefits that are choking the state to death. And by the way, we all agree, it's not the workers' fault. But at what point, and I've been screaming about this for 10 years on this station, at what point do the union leaders understand that you're protecting something that has the potential to go away because we could be headed for 30% of state revenue being specifically spent on benefits for state workers? Nobody can survive that.
No, well, that's exactly right. This is what I have been striving to change since I became governor. We have a broken system. It's unaffordable, and it is unsustainable. Kristen McQuarrie is exactly right. And one of the big negatives in this budget, even though it's balanced through hard work, we do not budget any debt pay down. We've got to pay down our debt. We've also got to properly fund the pensions. The pensions are unaffordable, unsustainable in their current form. We needed more pension reform done. Didn't get all of it that we needed. We also have health care, health insurance costs for government employees that's astronomical. It's through the roof. We have a health plan for state employees that no one in the private sector gets. It's platinum coverage with bronze cost to the state employees. It's just not fair. And I advocated for changing that just the way Democrats did in Massachusetts, but we couldn't get our Democrats in the General Assembly to change the system. So we've got to keep striving to change. The system's broken and unfair, and we've just got to keep working for it.
I don't understand what the Republicans are doing in Washington. I don't understand what the Democrats are doing in Springfield, because exactly what are you protecting if you're helping break down the system on every level?
Well, no, that's right. Here's the bottom line, Steve. In Illinois, for many decades, our government spending has been growing dramatically faster than our economy. That's the fundamental problem. That causes deficits, and that causes tax hikes. We need to change. We need reform, healthcare reform, pension reform, structural reform, consolidating government, so we can bring down the cost curve of government. And we need reform to make the Illinois economy more competitive, more attractive for job creators. We need regulatory relief. Regulatory flexibility, so we can compete with states that are booming, like Texas or Tennessee or Georgia or Florida or North Carolina. They're booming economically because their economies are much more attractive to business, to job creators. The regulations are much lower. Frankly, Indiana's booming. Indiana is much more regulatory friendly to business. They're taking our jobs as the number one state where our jobs are leaving. We need reform to grow the economy faster than our government spending. That's how we'll have long-term balanced budget.
And again, this is not about the rank-and-file workers. This is about your union leaders who may be choking you to death by not agreeing to some sort of compromise, not on your money, but on incoming benefits for new workers and a restructuring of the plan, whether it's a 401k or the Arizona model. There are ways to do this, but they don't happen overnight. The Arizona piece, as McQuarrie points out in her piece, took over a year of a public education campaign, and then the union leaders got on board. But it only happens, and this is why turnout is so important, it only happens if you let, in this case, your elected Democratic reps know you're not voting for them, if they're willing to choke the state to death. So please educate yourself as much as you can. We'll post this McQuarrie piece because it's an easy read, and just spread the word on what's actually really going on. I got to ask a couple things about the governor's race, but let me play one of your new commercials. Stand by, Governor. Governor's rolling this out today.
How about this one? God, if I knew for sure I wasn't running again. Yeah. How about Reverend Wright?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, how about you sitting Reverend Wright there? I bet you he'd take it.
Hilarious.
Huh? Would that be funny?
Hilarious.
Yeah. Right there on the Senate floor. It's not God bless America. It's God America.
America.
It's not God bless America. It's God America.
That's Rod Blagojevich and J.B. Pritzker yucking it up over the idea of Reverend Wright getting the Barack Obama Senate seat, one of the new commercials from the Rauner campaign for governor. There's a number of these that you're running. Is this going to be Battle of the Billionaires, or you guys just beat each other over the heads with money?
Well, the truth about Pritzker has got to be known by the people of Illinois. Pritzker is a corrupt insider. He's been part of the problem in Springfield for many, many years. He was tight with Blagojevich. He's tight with Madigan. He funded each of them in their political shenanigans. And Pritzker, unfortunately, is a tax dodger, to use a nice term for it. Inherited billions, hides the money in the Bahamas so he doesn't pay his proper income taxes, has used Madigan's law firm to cheat his property taxes in Chicago, ripped toilets out of his mansion so he doesn't pay the proper property taxes on his homes in Chicago. He's a corrupt, self-dealing insider. He's part of the problem, and we've got to get the truth about him known.
The idea of Rod Blagojevich getting a commutation of his sentence is been floated out there by the president, and it's certainly in play. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll say that, you know, that many judges, many legal experts, attorneys have studied the case, reviewed the facts. They've all come to the conclusion that Blagojevich is exactly where he deserves to be, and he should stay right where he's at. I don't know Blagojevich. I've never even spoken to him on the phone, but I think members of the media ought to ask somebody who has talked to him on the phone and see what they have to say.
Well, I can tell you now, I've spoken to him many times, and when he was governor, he provided regular access, but the untold damage that he has done to this state is only beginning to be felt. And let's not forget that he tried to exploit a children's hospital, amongst the other things. Governor, listen, I appreciate the access. And since you're pushing on education, as you usually do, the mayor's doing the same thing. Let's get you two together and let's work this out. Let's kumbaya this thing. I'll be the mediator.
That's good. I was just with the mayor. We are going to be celebrating the new Discovery Partners Institute and the Illinois Innovation Network. We're helping the University of Illinois expand its engineering and technology school to grow more tech jobs in Champaign and Chicago and Rockford and Peoria. And that's going to be a great bipartisan celebration.
So you guys can get along again.
We will always find a way to get things done.
All right. Thank you, Governor. Governor Rauner, you can visit his campaign website. You can also visit his regular state website. They are separate for legal reasons, but the governor talking about the budget and also about the upcoming battle with J.B. Pritzker.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Seems like we made a little news there with the governor thanking Mike Madigan for something. Seems like the speaker now would in kind thank the governor for the governor's leadership and being willing to put both sides together to try to get a budget done. By the way, the bare minimum of the job they should be doing, getting a functional budget on both sides. So, Speaker Madigan, I know you don't have the stones to do this show. Stones, I'll explain that to you if you like, if you call. But if you are a decent human being, as you'd like people to think you are, it seems like you might have something nice to say about the governor who just said something nice about you. Because I'm just trying to make people get along, even if I have to force them. Rahm and Rauner, the R&R summit, downstairs at the Billy Goat with me, and I'll pick up the check.
You know what's going to happen is you're going to hook them up, they're going to become good friends, and then they're going to edge you out. That's always how it works.
Wow. You're out! All right, we're giving away the Centennial Blue Edition Chevy Silverado. And you took a picture of a Silverado the other day. Now pictures are starting to come in of other people taking pictures of Silverados. So we should get more of these.
We should. Every day, send us a picture. You can text us. I always forget the text line.
That would be 312-981-7200. Just attach your photo.
Yeah, attach the photo. There was one in my neighborhood, and I was going to take a picture because there's some people getting some work done on their house. But the people were standing around it the whole time.
Oh, so. And you have to get releases to show them.
I take this for a website?
We have to get Photoshop, and we have to smudge out their faces.
Yeah, so.
But if you send us pictures, we're just going to show you that the world is overrun with Silverados right now in all the right ways.
Yes, you should, and why you want one. And there's the gallery of those photos is up at the WGN Radio website. So,
like seconds after we brought this up yesterday, somebody texted in a photo because they were literally in line getting gas.
No, it was the Indiana toll booth.
Oh, it was a toll booth.
Yeah. It was a toll booth.
And there was a Silverado right in front of them.
Right.
So there you go. The truck celebrates Chevy's century of creating the longest lasting, most dependable pickups on the road. And this Centennial Blue Edition Silverado can be yours. Start looking for videos after tomorrow of Manfredini and Hampton and me doing some stuff with the Silverado.
And you can go to WGMradio.com/contests to try to win that Centennial Blue.
Get in! Do it now. Spike Odell coming up after the headlines to talk about this once great building and the fact that we're leaving it soon. Spike will join us here in a few minutes. The headlines are next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It's been a hard day's night.
If the walls of this building could talk. I started working here in 2000, or as Spike and Dave Ennett like to refer to it, 20 or 30 years after they got here. Spike Odell joins us now on the phone from his palatial Nashville estate. Good morning, Mr. Odell.
Broadcasting live from atop Odell Knob.
I told you to get that checked.
You know, every place down here has a name for it. They got a holler here or a slough here, and I live on top of a hill here, and so I've named this Odell Knob.
There are a lot of knobs, aren't there? You're not messing around with this. There's a lot of knobs.
Yeah. Are you sad today, Stevie?
Well, it's not actually today. You know, we still probably got 2 weeks, but the interesting thing is the new landlords, the new owners of this place have made it hard to be sad or even to give us time to get emotional about leaving this building because they're basically kicking us out.
You need me to make a phone call? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I remember filling in for you on the morning show, and the 7 o'clock news is, you know, at that point, it's, I don't know, 9 or 10 minutes. And you had plenty of time to go back to the fully staffed cafeteria and get a home-cooked breakfast.
Yep. And I used every moment of that, too.
Not even now, because now I'm sure it's shut down as well. We reduced that spike in the last year or so to not vending machines, but a rack on the wall and a cooler that you could check yourself out with snacks and beverages.
Oh, no. So the cafeteria's gone.
Nobody's been gone.
Oh, man. I used to love going over there and getting a three-egg omelet or a bagel, one of those everything bagels, and just load that puppy up with everything.
They were good, too. Yeah. They were good. They knew you had to get back on the air. They'd turn it in 5 minutes.
They saw me coming, and they say, Spike's here. So they just started making it, you know?
I was talking about this with Bertrand the other day. There were two cashiers, one at either end, and there was always a line of people waiting to check out. And Millie was the lady who worked there in the morning.
I remember Millie.
Nicest lady. Remember Millie?
Yeah. The best.
I mean, she was the best.
Yeah, I'm still Facebook friends with Mildred. We talk all the time on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good. I hope she's doing
well. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah. Do you FaceTime with Bertha, too?
No.
Not Bertha?
Bertha the haircut lady? Bertha,
yeah. Didn't you go to her spike, too?
No, I did not. Oh, no, a lot of people did. I did not. I didn't have enough hair.
Yeah, Max, Max was a regular.
Yeah,
as many are. Spike worked before the reconfiguration of this place. Spike worked in the big room, the Vegas room, which I think was Studio A in the old setup, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, Studio A. And I'll tell you why I did that, because, I mean, they kept pushing me. They wanted me to be out there where you are in the Showcase studio now. And I just hated that. I was never one that, I mean, I was kind of weird in this profession, because I didn't like people looking at me. I didn't want to be on stage. I didn't want the spotlight on me. I just wanted to flap my lips and play the hits. I didn't like people looking at me, and I just always felt like a monkey in the Lincoln Park Zoo out there. It was weird.
Yeah, well, I am the monkey. And
I am the walrus.
Yes, and the big room, the Vegas room, from 1986 on is where all the legends worked. And I mean everybody. Yep. Wally still worked in there. Bob Collins worked in there. Spike Odell worked in there. And, of course, Dave Edit worked in there.
Well, it was kind of easier, Steve, because everybody was there, as opposed to out in the Showcase studio. I know I'm talking to some addicts here. And people,
well, Showcase studio is a studio on the street that people see, but they certainly know the other room.
I can look to the right, and there was the newsman. I can look in front of me, and there was my producer. And in the other room was the intern that would go run and get stuff and help us out. And sports was just around the corner. So everything was just right there, and I liked that.
And I can tell you, history being what it is, on the morning when Spike Odell said there's nothing going on and 9/11 happened, I was the first person back on the air, and security insisted we go from that room because we didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah. Those were scary days. I have so many memories and I just can't imagine not being in that building. I know it's older, it's falling apart, and there's, you know, and it's not the, you know, a brand new building like that tower across the street and everything, but that's the only thing I know. That's just, I did almost 6,000 shows in that building. You can't help but feel sad.
Well, there's so much history here, but as you look back, one moment, Spike, that and 9/11 obviously is a day that I was on with you that morning, and Tommy Peterson, that was obviously an unforgettable day. But what about the good times and one fun moment that you remember that had to do with this place?
Well, you know, I just said I didn't like broadcasting from the Showcase studio, but I did hang out there because, you know, Link was out there a lot, and we, you know, I'd kill time out there before I went on the air. And
they had the big map out here, right?
Pardon me?
They had the big map. The traffic
map.
Map
out there, and if you know, if you're just killing time, you could go out there, and the things you would see out that window. I mean, Steve, I don't have to tell you guys.
Yep.
Dave, Andre, I mean, stuff you see, you can't even talk about sometimes on the radio, but
especially when the weather gets warm.
You know, that's what I'm saying. But at one time, the 76ers were in town to play Michael and the Bulls, and I'm out there just killing time with Link. And Charles Barkley and a bunch of guys from the team, they walk up to the front window and they look at me. and I stood up. I said, "Hey, Link, there's
Chuck
Barkley." So I walked over to the window and I put my fist up like, come on, we're going to whip you guys tonight. I was going to hit him, you know. And he challenges me to a punch out on Michigan Avenue.
Like, come on.
Yeah, he's going, get out of here, you punk. I'm going to knock you. I mean, he and I are going after you. I mean, I'm thinking I'm joking with him, but I'm thinking he wants to kill me. That was terrifying, yet kind of a...
Yeah, amusing.
So what happened? Did you go out there?
He went out and he wiped the floor with him.
No, they walked on.
You sent Link out there.
Stuff like that, stuff you don't expect. The people you see out there. One time I was walking past the Showcase studio, just right in front of the window there, and I'm with, I forget who I'm with. I think I'm with Dan Filato, my producer at the time. And this guy's walking past me. I said, "Hey, that's John Bon Jovi." And Dan says, "Yeah, I think it is." So he walks by. I go, "Hey, Dan," or "Hey, John." And he goes, "What?" Like, "What do you want?" "Okay, hi, how are you? See you later." But just moments like that, just very cool moments.
Well, I can tell you, sitting in this chair just in the last 18 years, I have on this street in front of us seen Bill Clinton, Al Gore, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, everybody but Donald Trump at one point or another. Oh, and Jimmy Carter have all walked past this window or walked into the building to do interviews.
Yeah. I was interviewing Dan Quayle, former vice president, and he was in town promoting something, and we did our bit, and there was a break. So I went out to the Showcase studio, and I walked him to the front door, and I went out to the Showcase studio, and I watched him take off, and I was just wondering how much Secret Service or who was going to be with him, and he's all by himself. There's the vice president, former vice president of the United States, walking out and catching a cab and going up Michigan Avenue all
that?
By himself. And I guess, you know, that happens after a while. You lose all your Secret Service. But that was just weird to see that.
Sure, without a doubt. Now, the building itself, the configuration of the building, especially when I first came here, I always thought was odd. From the time you guys got here, was it always the weird, like, square thing with a conference room in the middle? I'm talking about back in the offices here.
Yeah.
We had a conference room with a secret wall, and behind the secret wall was this huge storage space. I think Jimmy Hoffa was in there. and our own Marlene Wells, the legendary Marlene Wells, who is still working here 50 years after she started, she was in charge of what we call the prize closet, where all the free T-shirts and stuff were. And she had generations of prizes in there. I mean, enough to make a WGN museum.
Yeah, she still had Wally scarves and, you know, all that kind of stuff. To me, the building was, I guess it was, it was more than my eyes could take. When I first got, I remember my first day in that building. I came up for the interview. They interviewed me. They walked me around. They put me through the test. You know, you had to do this fake radio show, which was very stressful. I didn't know what to say, what to do. Anyway, I did it all. And after everything was said and done, after a couple, 3 hours, I'm back in the program director's office with Dan Fabian, who was the program director at the time, and Lorna Gladstone, who was the assistant program director. And I was getting ready to leave, and he says, "You know what, I don't want you to go yet, because I want you to meet our general manager." So he walks out and comes back in with the general manager, and it was Wayne Vriesman. And Wayne says to me, He says, because he must have seen my eyes were big, and I was still kind of just looking at everything and just the awesomeness of that building and the town itself. And he looks at me and he says, does all this intimidate you? And I'm thinking, oh, geez, how do I answer this? I'm applying for a job here. What's the right thing to say? And I just decided to suck it up, and I looked at him, and I said, yeah, it does a little bit. And he says, good, it should.
Well, that's probably why you got the gig. Man, you were honest.
That's the answer.
You know what I'm saying? That's probably why you got the gig, because you were straight with him.
Well, I wasn't going to lie. Like, nah, I can do this. I was scared to death. Are you kidding me?
Let me ask you one other thing. Talking to Spike Odell about us leaving the Tribune Tower, which apparently we're going to do now a week from Friday, I think will be our last show here.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And we just found out this morning, by the way, Spike, we're going to be the last people in the building, like a horror film. Turn the lights off when you leave. Look out behind you.
Wow.
The newspaper's leaving in a few days. But the thing I was going to ask you is this. The amazing audio archives of this place,
yeah.
They all used to be on reel-to-reel tape.
Yeah.
Reel-to-reel tape, which eventually led to these things called carts that were like 8 tracks. And at one point, we were taping everything on videotape where you just have the audio because we weren't shooting video at that point, all the way through. I thought when I came to WGN, I thought there must be like a safe, like a bank safe with a giant wheel.
Yeah.
And the giant wheel you'd have to turn. Think about the record library. Oh, the record library must be unbelievable. At the end of the hallway, the long hallway kind of pinned up against where Studio A, as we're describing, were giant file cabinets. Most of them covered in dust. That's where all the crap was thrown. Archives of 50 years of radio at that point, or longer, all thrown in there.
You know, they were getting ready to throw all that stuff out one time. They were going to throw it in the dumpster, and I just thought, man, there's got to be some priceless things in that file cabinet. So I took several files. I didn't even know what I was taking. I just grabbed an armful. I went out the door one night, put him in the car, and several months later, I started thumbing through it. And some of the stuff that I took home, I have the actual contract that WGN did with the Beach Boys to have the Beach Boys sing, Cubs, 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 here it comes.
Oh, is that right?
I have that where all, you know, where the Beach Boys management signed it. There's just several things that I have that I just thought, why are they throwing this out? This is priceless.
Well, I think what it came down to, because I asked people the same, was, you have a limited amount of space, and this place produced a lot of history. And it's like, well, we got to put it somewhere. Open another file drawer.
Yeah. And you talk about audio, priceless things in audio. I used to go back into the record closet, back in the record library, just for snicks when I was killing time sometimes, and just look at the boxes of reel-to-reel tape.
Yep.
Of the interviews that were done years ago with legendary names. Roy Leonard had a room to himself with all the interviews he would do with just legendary audio from people who stopped by to visit when they were in town. Just it's a treasure chest there. It really is. And it's really something special. That'd be a good name for a radio station. Someplace special.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to leave on a down note, but I don't believe this is a down note, and I know you don't like when I bring this story up, but this is a tribute to you, my friend. The most amazing thing I've ever seen on the radio, and keep in mind, I've been thrown out of a lot of cities and a lot of places, is the day that Bob Collins died, the day he was killed in a plane crash. And Spike Odell and many others here knew that Bob was gone, but the right thing to do was obviously to wait so we could notify his wife. Unfortunately, news crews were buzzing around, and everybody wanted the story. But Spike went on the air knowing that Bob had passed, and did at least a couple of hours, Spike, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Before he could make the announcement. The following day, Spike then was tasked with doing the impossible, and that's going into Bob's studio, the studio, and doing what had been the Bob Collins Show. And he refused to sit in his chair. And, you know, I mean, I get a little choked up thinking about it now, because in what may have been a split-second decision, or maybe you thought about it before, you paid the ultimate tribute to him. It was one of the great pillars, one of the great legends that worked here. And I've always respected that. I know I've told you this story before, but I think it goes with this building.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the kudos and stuff, but I will tell you, in all honesty, those were two very numbing days for me. I was just numb. I when I learned what had happened, and then trying to do a radio show, and then doing all the interviews, you know, all the news outlets were there that night, and we were doing interviews about it to CNN. I forget everybody that was there. And then going home late that night and getting back up 4 hours later and coming in to do the show. To be honest with you, I don't remember a whole lot about it, and I don't even like to hear audio from those days.
I'm sure.
I purposely don't want to listen to it because it's just sad. It bums me out. And, it had to be done, but it just really tore me apart. It took a long time for me to get over that. It really did.
But totally understandable. And by the way, we saw Christine not long ago at the Walk of Fame ceremony. She looks fabulous.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And she has lived her life with nothing but class from the moment on.
When I left the Tribune Tower almost 10 years ago now, just about 10 years ago, there were two things I took from my office that Christine said was fine to take. One thing she said was fine to take, and that was a watercolor painting that Carl Johnson out in Galena did of the Tribune Tower. Matter of fact, I'm looking at it right now. I got it in my office here.
Right.
I'm looking at it now, and I see that all the time. It's just a beautiful watercolor painting that hung in Bob's office that Christine gave to me. And also, I have Bob's coffee cup that he came in with that last morning. It says Bob on it. I mean, I just imagine him filling that up at the house and driving into the station every morning. And I've got that here in the house here. It's in a special spot. So, that's a couple of memories I took from the Tribune Tower with me.
And we've got the bottle of Jack Daniels from his office,
are
too.
Big
O still pouring it out of that bottle.
Big O has it locked away. Yep.
847, it's my birthday, and hearing you guys share stories is the best gift ever from Ruth. Just one of the many texts that are coming in. Buddy, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling, and enjoy your memories there, because that's the way you'll think of it probably for a long, long time. Love to talk to you guys, David, Andrea, Mary. Love you guys, and thanks for calling, buddy. I appreciate you remembering me.
All right, bud. Love you,
back Spike.
To you. Love you, Spike. I think we can all agree he turned out to be a real jerk.
There are so many stories.
He's the best.
So many stories.
All right, we're way late, but for all the right reasons. We'll take a break, come back, get your news in a moment. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Good morning, Dean, and welcome to Moron Entertainment.
Good morning, and happy Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Is it Tuesday today?
Tuesday! Yes, it is, actually.
Do you know who Bob Mackie is?
Yeah, of course. He designs all of my dresses.
Legendary fashion designer, mm-hmm. Famous for designing gowns and dresses for Cher, for Carol Burnett.
Everything the women in Carol Burnett's show wore, Bob Mackie allegedly created.
That's exactly correct. And all the fashions that you see Steve in every morning when you tune in on WGNRadio.com, and you can watch the very attractive camera angles.
I have 6, 7, 8 wardrobe changes every morning. Of course, you know, my two main designers are Bob Coles and Bob Dockers. I don't know if you're familiar with their work, but that's where I get most of my stuff.
I am. I don't think most people are, but just because we're a little more into the fashion.
Yes.
I am very familiar with the Dockers. The Dockers? Is that how you say it?
Bob Dockers, Bob Coles.
Bob.
I know them both as Bobby.
Anyone named Bob, Steve uses them.
Mm-hmm. Bob's Furniture.
Well, no, actually, I draw the line.
Bobbing for apples. Mm-hmm. Everything. Anything named Bob.
So what Bob Mackie story do you have?
Bob Mackie is in Chicago today. He's designing the wardrobe for this new Cher musical.
Okay.
That is going to be opening soon at the Oriental Theater here in Chicago, and I'm going to talk to him today And we'll share a little bit of that with you tomorrow.
You're going to ask him if Cher was tough to work with?
I'm going to ask him who was the greatest...
Diva?
That may be too strong of a word after the... After all the controversy last week, I want to be very careful.
Right.
What kind of language I use.
You're very careful with that.
I'm very PC.
Dean, are you going to, if he's got a pair of those pants where there's no behind?
No.
Are you going to ask to maybe try on some of her costuming?
If they have them in Husky Boy sizes, I will.
I think, when you think of that outfit from Cher, I think Husky Boy is probably one of the things he considered.
The outfit that I actually am going to be wearing. Because I want to, you know, honor him, is that outfit that Cher wore on the If I Could Turn Back Time video, mm-hmm. where she was sitting on the destroyer in Pearl Harbor, singing on one of the big battle guns. So that's what I
wasn't have that today. Just basically two suspenders?
Yeah.
Just kind of wrapped around her?
Yeah. See, fishnet stockings are not as comfortable as you might think.
Oh, I know. And you talk about chafing.
Woo!
I'm telling you.
I would have shaved my legs a little more if I would have known how uncomfortable this is.
Don't you have a team that shaves your legs every 15 minutes anyway?
I do. We have a whole team here at Channel 9 who's in charge. Just in charge of shaving legs.
I'm getting texts now from listeners saying, just threw up a little bit. We've got some fabulous celebrity real estate listings coming up. Sarah Gilbert is talking about the Roseanne situation on her own show. Legally Blonde is in the news.
Ariana Grande. I cannot wait for that.
Are you excited about
it? I am very excited. I love
Legally Blonde.
I think, yeah, in Legally Blonde 2, I thought was pretty good, considering sequels aren't always...
Right.
Reese Witherspoon can't be stopped right now.
Oh, the best. Yeah, I like Legally Blonde. Did you see the play, Legally Blonde?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Did that ever come to Chicago?
I don't remember it.
But I tell you, the Legally Blonde movie, you just had no idea which way it was going to go next. How could it end up? Oh, the twists and turns.
The boy leaves her, she gets angry, and then succeeds. I think it's a great message.
And then falls in love with a sea creature.
Yeah.
No, I think
what, Ursula?
Thank you. You're mixing movies,
maybe. Was that The Shape of Legally Blonde?
Yes. The Shape of Reese.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back with all of that with Dean.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
Dean, as I think you know, we do the Kid of the Week thing every Tuesday.
Yes.
Had a delightful young girl on the show today, 12-year-old Grace Peyton Tauber, or Tauber. And I know that her grandmother wouldn't want me to mention this because, you know, it's about the kid. But I did want to mention that Grandma Dorothy was a submitter, and I know she's a longtime listener.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dorothy. If you really cared, you'd help us move boxes over to the new location.
Imagine if we got all the longtime GN supporters to just finish off the move.
Yeah, a lot of you are full of big talk. I love WGN. I grew up listening.
How about you where come in you? And bend over?
Yeah, where are you when it comes to moving day?
Pick up a box. Would it kill you? That's what I meant by bend over, Dave.
Good. Glad you clarified.
Said bend over, Dave. Look like, oh boy, there's going to be a meeting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, first off, the Sarah Gilbert-Roseanne thing.
Yeah, this is the first time that Sarah Gilbert has talked about this in a public place. She did it on the daytime talk show, The Talk, in which she is a co-host. And she had kind of a prepared statement, but this is what she said.
The show has always been about diversity, love, and inclusion. Yeah. And it's sad to see it end in this way. Yeah. I'm sad for the people who lost their jobs in the process. Yeah. However, I do stand behind the decision that ABC made.
Yeah, so she's wait. Staying firm with that.
I don't watch The Talk. Is it like going to church with a bunch of my black folk friends?
That was the first time I had ever heard that.
What is a call and response thing?
That was the first time I had ever heard that on the talk. I don't know why people were responding.
The ultimate truth in life, white people go to church, they attend. Black people go to church.
That's right.
They right?
Raise the roof.
That's the way you ought to go to church.
Raise the roof.
But I don't know, Sarah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, people lost their jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
What?
Well, they were supportive that she was sad that people lost their jobs.
Yeah.
But all of that, it may be a moot point this week because insiders are saying that ABC could make a decision within a day or two to bring the show back without Roseanne, possibly with Sarah Gilbert as the central character. Whether or not they would still be the Connors, whether it would be something else.
Why not Laurie Metcalf as the central
character? Yeah, she's a great actress.
Yep,
I don't know. Get that.
Don't know. Yeah. She's been the only one that hasn't said word one about this whole Roseanne controversy.
Legally Blonde 3.
Right. Could happen. In fact, it's very close to happening. In talks now with Reese Witherspoon on this, she would be reunited with the original writers from the original Legally Blonde movie.
Our official staff blonde, Sandberg, very pleased, as we've established.
Yeah,
yes, I am.
She would be one of the producers of the movie as well.
You know, Sandberg would?
Yes, they've worked that out.
People consult me on everything.
She would be part of that. She is not only on, but produces Big Little Lies. She's got TV movie that she's going to be doing with Jennifer Aniston. So she's super busy, but not too busy to bring back her famous character.
Ariana Grande in the news?
Woods. Elle Woods.
Elle Woods.
Famous character.
What was the L for?
Elle. As long as they bring back the bend and snap. Not like Elle Woods, the restaurant.
That's what I was thinking.
No, I thought Elle, like Elle stood for something, like Lucy.
I was thinking full slab baby back.
Elle Woods. Like Elwood's.
Elwood's ribs. Some good ribs up there.
Yeah, a little bit distracted.
Ariana Grande. Excuse me.
Yeah, cough that up.
Pardon me. Ariana Grande has announced that she is suffering PTSD.
From the post-traumatic
stress disorder from the Manchester bombing that took place about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. She says that she can't even talk about it without crying. She's never disclosed it before because she felt that it was trivial compared to what other people went through, including the 22 who lost their lives and so many others who were injured. But she brought it up in an interview in a British magazine this week.
I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. And I think she went from being the snotty kid star that licked donuts in a donut shop and thought it was funny to a full-on adult who handled herself brilliantly after that event, and has really become a leader in the music world about doing the right thing.
Yeah, exactly correct.
All right, so we got some celebrity real estate.
Well, this is a little bit different celebrity real estate today. I wish some of these were my listings.
Oh, boy.
As you know, when I'm not here on the radio or on TV, I do have Dean Richards Celebrity Real Estate. And, we buy and sell some honeys of a deal. This time, all I can do is tell you about some new properties.
Oh, so this is things you've missed.
These are things that I've sadly slipped through my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Oprah's new digs. She's gone from living in, practically a one-bedroom apartment here in Chicago to now a 43-acre estate that she's just purchased north of Seattle on a compound on the Orcas Island. Cost $8.3 million.
What? Why?
Steve, this is tucked away on an inlet. It's got a three-story main house, a guest house, a barn, a workshop, a glass wall gazebo, which is perfect for whale watching. That's what I do whenever I used to go to Oprah's house.
Does it come with its own ferry? I mean, she's got to have a boat to get out there.
Well, apparently. Apparently, a ferry is included.
Ferry sold separately. Well, how much? $8 million?
$8.3 million.
All right, I'm not going to tell you how much cash I have until you tell me the other things that I could offer.
This one's not for sale.
Well, you don't know that.
Well,
everything's for sale.
I suppose everything is for sale. So the other real estate story that I've got is Queen Elizabeth's wedding present to Harry and Meghan. You know, a lot of grandmothers would give you a blender,
mm-hmm.
precious moments figurine, a piece of peppermint candy that's
good stuff.
Been in her purse for years.
Mm-hmm.
Meghan and Harry got a 20,000-acre mansion.
Wait. 20,000 acres?
It's a 20,000-acre mansion called Sandringham Estate that's just northeast of Kensington Palace. She inherited it from her father, King George VI, But it's been in the royal family since 1862.
And she just remembered it?
And apparently she said, "What shall I give the children for a gift?
Oh, someone tell me where are the keys for Sandringham?
Nobody's used it in years."
Is it the parcel of land? Is that large? Yeah. Or is it the actual?
Yeah, the house is actually a double wide.
The house is not 20,000 acres large.
Yes. 20,000 acres is
the entire estate, but it's a pretty, it's a good size house.
I wonder if you mow all that or if there's like trees.
Philip does. That's why he's, not walking as well as he used to.
They use goats.
Well, bring me the goats.
Goats are hot right now, too.
Yes, they are. All right. And that were for sale would be for how much?
That's priceless.
All right.
It's too bad you're not selling anything, Dean, because I'm looking at Steve's cash right now and he is.
Is he loaded today?
It's not loaded, but I mean, I'm doing fine. I got 190 in cash.
Oh,
190 in cash.
That's a lot of walking around money.
I'm pretty good shape today. I got $83.
Wow.
All right, so we're up to 273.
Yeah. I have $18 myself.
You gonna throw this in?
Yeah.
All right, so that's 291.
Well, let me see if I could if I have anything at all on my listing.
This is our new limited partnership that we're forming live on the air.
How about, can I interest you all in Shaquille O'Neal's 28-room lakefront mansion near Orlando, Florida?
Maybe. I mean, Orlando's easier to get to than Seattle.
Golfy around.
It's a massivist. Oh, Steve, it's got a private golf community attached.
Well, then I'm in.
Attached.
And a full basketball court, right?
Yeah, full basketball court.
That's good because after I play 18, I like to come home and dunk.
Yeah, an indoor 6,000 square foot basketball court. It's on 31,000 acres, 12 bedrooms, 15 baths, chef's kitchen.
31,000 acres in Orlando?
I think Dean's inflating these.
Are you adding zeros?
I am not.
31,000
acres.
But it's on a lake, so maybe they're counting some of the water.
Oh. I got $190.
Let me tell you this before you put your money up. This also has a saltwater triangular fish tank.
Oh, triangular.
Is that 31,000 acres, too, the fish tank?
It is not.
Does it have high ceilings?
Very.
And large beds.
Extremely high.
Can you imagine if it was like normal ceilings and Shaq kept whacking his head when he walked in the house?
What's he selling?
Ouch.
Lofted ceiling.
Do you happen to know where he's going to be living, Dean, now that he's selling?
I do not. I am not allowed.
He's moving in with Oprah.
Do you think when we call for a showing that he has to tidy up the house and then leave for a couple hours so we can come in and check it out?
Oh, Steve's going down. He's bringing everybody else. Somebody needs to sweep up.
It's my new Shaq impression I'm working on.
What?
Somebody got to sweep up. Steve's coming down. He's bringing everybody from the show.
Asking price for the... Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, no judgment on my Shaq impression? I thought I nailed it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
It's also got a
lot... I thought the Shaq impression was terrific.
Now, if you can combine the Shaq impersonation with a little French accent...
And the Queen.
That's what I would love. Yeah. It's also got a life-size statue of... Shaq's favorite character, Superman, overlooking the lake. This listing just gets better and better.
It really does. It doesn't sound...
$28 million is the asking price.
Well, listen, no mortgage. 190 in cash plus Dave's 81.
I will
83.
Submit that to him today.
273 cash money, homie.
Hang on, let me.
Man, maybe they'll counter.
I just sent it to them.
Come back and they go, "We won't take anything less than $283.
I just got a text back from them. Says, "You must be out your mind."
You must be out of your mind. Think of yourself for that.
Why is Steve continuing to do the Shaq impression?
This is like the Rich Little show today.
It's pretty good.
Don't you insult Rich Little.
It's like a little puppet show today.
Thank you, Ryan. At least I have Ryan supporting me. All right, Dean, listen, thank you for all the work you're doing, whatever it may be.
Steve, have a wonderful day today, will you please?
You have been listening to Moron Entertainment with not one but two. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Saw my old pal Mark DiCarlo in a brand new Progressive insurance commercial with Flo. You know Flo, the Progressive lady?
Yeah, does he know Flo?
Maybe they were a thing at one point. I don't know. Gotta call him.
What's the basis of
show,
the commercial?
A game show.
Okay.
Game show. Yeah.
I love that one where she's trying to talk insurance with her sister who's riding the bike very slowly.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get into my workout right now.
What is it? Spinning? Spinning is my life.
Right.
We're getting a lot of texts in on Dean's erroneous statement of how big these estates were that he was trying to sell.
Sandringham is not as large as Dean made it out to be.
In his defense, he's not the listing agent of these ones. He was just telling us about them, so maybe that's why he doesn't have the facts correct.
Brian says, how many people are doing what I'm doing right now, trying to figure out 31,000 acres? The entire town of Streamwood is 7,000 acres. there's more. Let's see. 31,000 dead wrong. 31,000 acres, 48 square miles. Imagine the heating bill. Is this really a gift? 815, have been on Orca's Island. It's very nice. Orca's Island, is it named after the orca whales?
You know what, that I don't know, but it is pretty up there.
So the point is, Dean's statement of acreage for Sandringham and also for Shaq's estate,
mm-hmm.
I think had an extra zero in it.
Yeah, I feel like his, for sure, I can say about Orlando. I've not been to Sandringham.
Sandringham?
Yeah, Sandringham.
But even if it was 3,100 acres, that's crazy. So we can't confirm or deny this, but we believe, if you have Channel 9 on this morning, that Dean's drunk. let's see. How many acres is 234 square miles? The city of Chicago.
Okay.
149,760 acres, the entire city of Chicago. So Shaq's estate is one-fifth the size of the city of Chicago. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he's tall.
He is tall.
He's not that tall. So I have Monkees tickets to give away, and here's the deal. Were you a Monkees fan?
Yes.
Who is your favorite Monkee?
Well, I met Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he was in town promoting polo. I mean, the game.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
But I always liked Davey.
Did you watch it first run?
Yeah, believe it or not. Well, we had Kinescope back then, Mary, and you know,
actually, they had people go village to village and recreate it live.
I didn't mean it as an age, a knock to the age. I watched it on reruns after school on Nick.
I was
Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon didn't exist when
the
Nickelodeon was where Dave would put his money for the jukebox.
Okay.
Channel was it even on? Was it on like 7 or ABC?
I think it was ABC.
NBC.
It was NBC?
NBC?
Yes.
Okay. I would watch it every day after school. At my grandma's house, I would have Chips Ahoy cookies heated up in the toaster oven. And I would sit there. And,
that's a big day.
I don't know if it was the NBC Red or Blue Network.
Right. Actually, when Dave was watching NBC, the peacock only had one color and feathers.
One feather, yes.
The Monkees present the Mike and Mickey Show featuring Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz. We used to play Monkees when we were a kid. We'd watch a show and then we'd pretend we were the Monkees. And I had Mike Nesmith's hat.
Oh, the wool cap.
Yeah, he was wearing a wool cap indoors way before it was cool.
Yeah. He was, yeah.
And so I was Mike.
I wanted to ride around on a bed so badly, like have
someone push
me on a bed.
Yeah. And I got to know Davy Jones a little bit. And here's a weird little fact about Davy Jones that you won't know. Davy Jones was a terrific bowler.
Really?
He had like a 228 average or something.
No kidding.
Loved bowling, and he's as little as you think he is. Where he was. Sadly, he's gone. Mickey Dolenz, as we said, good guy. Met Peter Tork, kind of a goofball. I never met Mike.
Well, Peter and Davey were the cuter ones.
Yeah, I think Davey's a cute
one. I saw Davey here in Greece in like a national touring
company. I bet he was great.
He was terrific.
Now, I think I'm right about this. Didn't Mike Nesmith's mother invent whiteout? Am I right about that?
Yes, and she also knit his hat.
Well, that's what moms would do. But I think I'm right about that.
No, you are right.
The whiteout that we would use on typewriters, don't use it on your computer screen, whiteout that you would use on typewriters invented by Mike Nesmith's mother. So he didn't need to work until now.
I just threw
Nobody's buying whiteout now.
I just threw some away here in the newsroom or at Traffic Central. It was very hard, you know, because it kind of dried up.
When we were bored in grade school, we had paint our nails with whiteout.
Oh,
just because.
Did it come off?
Yeah, you chip it off after. That's something to do.
Well, here you go. The tickets for Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz. Here's what we'll do. We'll make this a little more interesting than just a seventh caller. I have Monkee fun facts. And by the way, not about the band, about actual monkeys.
Real monkeys?
Real monkeys. We'll allow you to play the monkey true or false game. Sandberg, you can help with this. Sandberg and Dave and Mary, and Steve's trying to prepare a newscast, but he can certainly chime in as well. These will be simple true or false questions about monkeys.
Okay.
Can you properly answer my monkey questions? 312-981-7200 is the number. Show itself is June 14th at the Copernicus Center at I-90 and Lawrence Avenue, copernicuscenter.org for tickets. And by the way, Friday we'll pull a winner's name from the people that qualify for a special VIP package, including the sound check before the show and an autographed 10 CD box set. But this is like Dean's real estate listing. We don't know how there could be 10 CDs of monkey music.
There might be covers or something, I have a feeling.
Like 9 CDs of covers.
Sure.
Yeah, there could be comedy sketches from the show.
Oh, you know what? Maybe. Right? Maybe it's the shows.
Yeah.
But they're CDs. They're not DVDs.
Yeah, but still, that stuff is it's timeless.
Yeah, like Bob Newhart, I listened to the audio. You don't need to watch it.
I still think it might be Mickey Dolan's private record collection, like stuff he was just trying to get rid of. We'll get to that coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. I thought love was only
true in fairy tales. The music was good. The Monkees' music.
Really good.
I think The Last Train to Clarksville.
Which was a Vietnam protest song.
Yep. And also a train.
The train is the last one.
Dawn's in Marengo. Hi, Dawn. Let me go to Dawn here then. Hi, Dawn. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. Who will you take to the monkey show?
You know what? I have no idea. Myself, for sure.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask. Yeah, absolutely. You and me. I will ask you a series of monkey trivia questions. Now, these are questions about actual monkeys. These are true or false questions. Anybody on the staff can chime in if they think you're headed down the wrong path.
Are you going to give
that would be great.
Don a heads up between Dave and myself, Sandberg, on how we did on the test run?
The test run, you were wrong. Yeah. Dave was right.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't do well. So.
Uh-oh. That surprises me.
That I was right? Would be wrong. Don, I mean, what's that about?
The first primate. Now, Don, here's your first question. The first primate in space was a rhesus macaw monkey named Davy. Well, isn't that Davy Jones? Davy the monkey. Is that true or false? June
14th, 1949. Flag Day. True.
You think that's true? Do you, the rest of you feel confident?
What do you think?
It's a monkey named Davy. I'm asking the staff to help you
out. I think it's true.
You think it's true?
I'm going to say false, but I think Steve Grzanich probably knows.
Steve Grzanich, he's at the other building.
Better get Steve.
Steve Grzanich is an expert on space travel.
Space and animals.
He would know.
Steve, the first space monkey in 1949 was named Davy. True or false?
False.
It's false.
Okay, false.
You are correct. His name was Albert.
Oh, gosh, I'm so good.
There we go. Sandberg, Grzanich, and Don.
Wait a minute. You didn't. Steve got it.
I was going to go with you.
Don, I'm sorry. I let you down.
And Steve, I know you know this, Steve Grzanich, but it actually has a sad ending because the monkey wasn't killed by space travel, but the parachute on reentry failed, and he died in the crash.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it was a banana accident, but I think you're right. I think it was a parachute accident.
Oh, you think I'm right?
Yeah.
Item number two. You've already won, but let's just give you a couple more here.
Yay.
Monkeys can understand written numbers and can even count and understand basic parts of arithmetic and even, in some cases, multiplication. True or false?
True.
That is true, but they're terrible at algebra.
So am I, so it's okay.
You give them trigonometry, forget about it.
I know that's true because of that Matthew Broderick movie that had monkeys in it.
Monkey Math?
That was a good movie.
Was that the Monkey Math movie?
No, I think it was called Project X or something.
Yeah, Project X.
All right, again, keep in mind you're already a winner, but one more here. To attract a female partner, male capuchin monkeys will pee on their own hands and then rub it into their own fur. Hey, ladies! Hey, ladies!
Kind of like cologne.
True or false?
It's probably true.
Sadly, it is true. Why would I make that up?
Well, there's some Major League Baseball players who've been known to do that.
That's exactly right. The Alou brothers.
Moises Alou.
Listen, you're going to the monkey show. And remember, they're going to be at the... Oh, I'm glad you're happy. At the Copernicus Center. So, Don, I will decide who drives later.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, hold on. That's Don and Marengo. Don and I are going to the monkey show.
That's great.
Yeah. You didn't get to the part where the monkeys get the machine guns and take over Washington.
Wait, you're saying it hasn't already happened?
Wait, I mean, maybe I'm thinking of a movie.
We'll take a break, come back, get the news next. And hi to everybody. It's CLTV, the CLTV Hour, underway on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I feel badly about this because Dave's out of the studio. We normally don't talk booze when Dave's not here. But in this case, I'm willing to make an exception because, that's the kind of guy I am. Fawn Weaver here. Are you from Uncle Nestor Whiskey?
Uncle Nearest?
Well, I've got an incorrect spelling here. Uncle Nearest Whiskey.
Uncle Nearest, yes. Yes, co-founder.
Okay.
And the historian.
100 proof.
Yes.
Tail-kicking whiskey.
It is.
All right, give me the story. What's Uncle Nearest Whiskey?
Uncle Nearest Premium Whiskey. It is named after the first African-American master distiller on record in the United States.
So a real dude.
Real dude. And he's actually the first African-American to ever be acknowledged with a bottle of any spirit, as hard as that is to believe.
What is a big deal?
It's a huge deal. It's history.
And this started in Lynchburg, Tennessee?
It started in Lynchburg, Tennessee. So he was a well-known master distiller there. For a lot of people, they know him more so as the person who taught Jack Daniel, the person who was Jack's first master distiller. But more importantly, he was just this incredible person who went from being a former slave to this just brilliant distiller whose story was lost in time. And now the Uncle Nearest brand is bringing that forward to the public.
This is Chuck Berry and Little Richard and all of the pioneering rock and roll African-American stars getting their stuff stolen.
It feels
the same way.
It's one of those things
but
where...
But did he get credit in his time?
He absolutely got credit in his time.
Oh, he did?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so it's not... I don't look at it as the same thing. And
okay,
the reason
is
Jack always made sure that people knew who Nearest was, who his mentor was, who his teacher was, who his first distiller was, and then his children continued, or his descendants continued that as they ran the distillery. So there was never any question, and Nearest, right after the Civil War, that's the first time we see records on him, as we did with anyone at that time, and he was the wealthiest African American in that area. So he was also paid very well to make this incredible whiskey.
Uncle Nearest 1856 Premium Whiskey. Honoring, the emancipated slave who helped launch just not just a brand. He's a Jackie Robinson of booze, as far as I'm concerned.
He is.
So it's a big deal. Now, tell me about his background. He must have grown up as a very poor, he was a slave.
Well, he was a slave. So we only know that he began in Maryland. By the time we see him and we have record of him is when he's in Lynchburg and he's at this farm by, ironically, this white preacher and distiller who sort of had to choose between, am I going to be a preacher or am I going to keep making whiskey? And he chose to continue being a preacher, but he allowed, use that loosely, but he allowed for Nearest Green, which was his name, to man the still and making him the first master distiller.
The history shows us that there were a number of religious leaders of that era,
yes,
who would buy slaves so they could live free.
Yes.
Even in the South. Was this the case?
No. Nearest was being rented. He was,
really?
He was. And that's something that we don't talk about very much, right? But people know slaves being owned, but we don't talk about the fact that they were also rented out. So
leased out, like equipment.
Leased out, like equipment, absolutely. So Nearest was leased, if you will. And
so where's the knowledge come from? Did he learn from the preacher?
We have no idea. So it's the sad part about the history of African Americans at that time frame,
sure,
is it's almost like trying to track cattle, right? There's no records on them.
Right.
And
right.
So going from Maryland to Lynchburg, we have no idea where he learned. What we do know is you do not rent a slave unless they had a specific skill set. And Nearest's skill set was distilling. So the likelihood that he was the higher distiller, if you will, even when he came onto that farm is pretty high.
Where are you going to buy this stuff?
Binney's has it everywhere.
They do.
Yeah.
Uncle Nearest 1856 Premium Whiskey. I understand that if I were to sip this right now, I'd feel it at noon. It's got a nice punch to it.
Not at all. It is incredibly smooth. The process that we use is what Nearest use. So it goes down more like an 80, 85 proof, even though it is 100.
Pardon the ignorance here, but I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to whiskey.
Yes.
So the distilling process is complicated?
The distilling process is incredibly complicated. So when you look at all the spirits, the reason why you're going to put whiskey at the top, if you're looking at it, and you have someone like a Pappy Van Winkle that people will pay an unbelievable amount of money for something that's 23 years old, which, by the way, Uncle Nearest was scored above Pappy Van Winkle's 23-year-old by Whiskey Advocate. Absolutely. And so when you are looking at the process, it is the most complicated and time-consuming of any of the spirits. And so that's why when you're looking at the price point of a higher-end whiskey, that's the reason why.
And I assume then, since it's really a work of art, a lot of batches probably get thrown out if they're not done right?
Let me tell you, we have thrown out within the last 2 months, 6 batches.
That's a lot of batches.
So if what we will do is we'll toss it into a barrel if we don't like it, but we'll see where it ends up in about 8 years. But in terms of really knowing,
couldn't keep
this
it around for
it.
Thanksgiving and just let the relatives drink it. Are any of Uncle Nearest's descendants still involved?
Oh, my gosh. So I am with his descendants. There's about 100, a little more than 100 of them around the country.
Wow.
In order to do this, I interviewed every branch of the family in every city in which they live. And I was on the phone with Nearest's great-granddaughter the other day, who, ironically, his 107-year-old granddaughter is still alive.
107?
107. And his great-granddaughter, who is in Indianapolis, she's not doing well. She was taken back to the hospital. But I was on the phone with her 2 days ago, and she says, "I keep seeing you on TV." It brightens her day to see her family's legacy finally being shared, and she just kept repeating it, how happy she was to see me every time I'm on TV. She says, "You say such nice things about
that." Well, it's hard not to, right?
It is absolutely impossible not to. So the family, as far as they are concerned, I am their family, because this is a story that they have wanted out for so long. And I took quite a bit of time to make sure it happened.
Where's your interest in this come from?
My interest came from it on the story side. So I heard about it originally through the New York Times. So Clay Risen, brilliant reporter there, and he wrote about it, but he wrote just enough to whet the appetite because he didn't have the time to dive and do the research. And so for my 40th birthday a few years ago, I decided...
Oh, you kidding? You're not 40.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it already.
Yes. On the other side of that. Good genes. Good genes, by the way. And I decided to go to Lynchburg, and I wanted to dive into the story and see how true is this, and why is no one else talking about it? Why is it something that hasn't been in the public? Because if what Clay Risen was saying was true, then we really should have Johnny Walker, Jack Daniel, Nearest Green. We should be talking about all three in the same type of... And so when
from a journalist perspective, I mean, you got a little bit of 23andMe here.
You
got a lot of questions and answers. You got old folks who remember and maybe don't. Was he... you said he was given his due in his time, but was he able to pass that knowledge on?
He was. So his sons, or several of his sons, they continued distilling, then his grandchildren continued distilling, and then after that we had Prohibition, and following Prohibition he still had children go back into the whiskey business, but not as distillers. But it was something that he passed down, this amazing legacy of excellence. So even if it wasn't in distilling, it was in other entrepreneurial pursuits.
So we know about the Tucker in these various automobile companies that had a leg up or had a foothold or even a step in, and they were shut down by the big boys.
Yeah.
At some point, was Uncle Nearest shut down even after he got his due in his day?
Uncle Nearest was never shut down. This is what drew me to the story, is that you had this, when I read Jack Daniel's biography, which we ended up republishing.
Right.
When I read it, what was fascinating to me is you had people in this country saying that this Nearest's recipe was stolen and that he wasn't giving his due. But then I read Jack's biography and he's mentioned, he and his boys are mentioned 50 times.
Is that right?
In a small biography. So it let me know, okay, there's more to this story. There's an importance here that his family wanted to make sure that was left behind. And when I showed up in Lynchburg, the first people I met were Jack's family. And the way that they talked about Nearest and Nearest's family let me know that the two looked at each other as family. And well, that's what drew me to it.
This is a movie, isn't it?
It is a movie. It's in the works.
Oh, it is?
So, yes. Yeah, so Uncle Nearest Premium Whiskey came out first, and then movie and book. But absolutely, my commitment to the family is as long as I am living, I am going to make sure if I can get Nearest on the same level as Johnny and Jack, that is what I'm going to do.
How come we don't know more about this prior to you deep diving on it?
I don't know.
Because if you hadn't done the deep dive, we still wouldn't know.
Agreed.
1856 is crucial. Why?
1856 is the first time we see Nearest distilling.
Okay.
And so prior to that time, we don't have record of him. We don't know where he was. And then 1856, we see him on the land. So the home that is on that bottle, we are almost finished completely restoring that.
And oh, you're kidding. How cool is that?
It's very cool. So it's the original 313-acre property where Nearest distilled his whiskey, and the water that flows to that property is the same water Nearest was bottling back in 1856, 1866, 1870. Yeah.
So you've gotten yourself an amateur's knowledge in how to distill whiskey now. Would you take it on yourself?
I would not. So here's the beautiful thing is the person who is our head of whiskey operations has been in Tennessee whiskey business for 31 years.
They probably know what they're doing.
Yeah, they probably know what they're doing. Yes.
The smoothest whiskey in Tennessee. It's Uncle Nearest 1856. You said Benny's has this.
Benny's does. They have it on sale, actually, because it's new to Chicago right now.
Well, that's great. That's great. And other than rolling it out the way you're rolling it out here, any other special parties going on, or is that only on an invite basis?
That's on an invite basis. It's actually for the press. So hopefully you will be there tomorrow night.
What but a mess we are that's going to be by the time that party's over. Bunch of press and 100 proof.
Yes, but we want to make sure that we introduce this properly to all of Chicago's press so that you guys know it. It is now here.
I love that story.
Thank you.
It really is a great story. Thank you for chasing it down. I'm sure it's been a lot of work.
It's been a lot of work, but it's people like you that have allowed me to share it and make it worth it.
Uncle Nearest, 1856, premium whiskey. Father's Day is coming up.
Yes.
Yeah. A little something for dad or granddad. Thank you again for being here
very much.
And again, the website is?
UncleNearest.com, and that's Uncle and Nearest is N-E-A-R-E-S-T, like Nearest and Dearest.
All right. This movie's got to get done. That's just too good a story.
It's Barry Vanderbilt, and then sometime she will do them both together.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. We continue. Mary Vanderbilt, normally on the 7th floor. She joins us in studio now. What is the 7th floor like now? Is there anybody up there?
Well, it was very funny because David Miranda, one of the news guys, just ran in knocking on the door feverishly saying, "We need Alexa, we need Alexa." They forgot Alexa.
Alexa's here?
Yes.
How did we leave Alexa behind?
We got her back. We smuggled her back. She's back across the river where she belongs.
Well, she was in the newsroom behind a printer, so maybe she just got stranded.
Well, don't you think Alexa would have spoken up? What about me?
You would think, but nobody called for her. So you got to call for her first.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody wants her. She's not wanted.
We haven't asked her for the box of cats to open up the box of cats anytime.
Yes, that's the thing you can do, kids.
Yes.
Somebody must have forgotten to put a moving tag. If you don't put a tag on it doesn't get moved. So. Well,
that's why we send our ninja, David Miranda, over. He takes care of it.
Is that why you tagged me? To make sure I get over to the new place?
Yes, that is why.
We push you in the chair still. The chairs would just push you across the river.
All right, now you're in the new building at 303. So you like the view?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Tell people what you see when you look out the window.
Well, if you look, it's behind me, but yeah, we see the river. It looks wonderful. People are kayaking the Navy Pier over to the side. It's rotating, which is what it should be doing. The Ferris wheel, I should say, not Navy Pier.
Right.
You couldn't have picked a more gorgeous week for us to move over. I mean, it's just been absolutely beautiful to look at.
Hey, Ryan, have you checked out what coffee places are open at 5 a.m. over there?
Yeah. So you mean the important stuff?
I'm not a coffee drinker, so no,
neither
I haven't had a chance to venture around.
But you're a newsman.
I am a newsman. I get my caffeine in other forms.
Yeah, see, I do a Diet Coke in the morning because I don't drink coffee either. Are you a Diet Coke guy?
Yeah.
I'm a tea guy and a Coke guy, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know if that Dunkin' Donuts in the Pedway, if we're going to be able to get coffee there.
I think there will be plenty to choose from. I think so,
at 5 a.m., though.
I think Ben checked it out and he said it's there.
We also have the Swiss Hotel 28 feet away. They've got to have stuff open, don't they?
Well, we've got a new fancy machine here, too, in the lunchroom.
Does it work?
I don't know. Well, I had to get plugged in. It should
work. Said the coffee wasn't working yesterday.
So. All right, so you're a newsman. You have very few answers. I'm shocked by this.
I know. He's, like, investigative, but lacking in...
We've got a lot of... Like I said, I walked in, and there were three engineers belly up in our newsroom. They're rolling around on the ground.
By that,
stuff.
He means they were working. It's not just another day.
Yes. I hope they pulled up their pants.
All right, so here's my question. The trash container, wherever it's closest to you, is it new or was it brought over from the old place?
It looks like it has been used.
Okay.
Previously loved.
This is driving me crazy. I don't know why you would move garbage cans into a new facility from an old place. When you move, anybody that's listening, if you've moved, have you ever moved your garbage cans?
No.
I put stuff in my garbage cans then gotten rid of
them. The specific cute ones for the bathrooms.
I'm not talking about little decorative deals. I'm talking about your trash bins.
I'm not bringing mine because there's a big crack in it.
Okay, so
does that mean I'm not going to get a new one when I get over
there? Well, here's what I want you to do, Sandberg. I want you to give me the total number of trash cans that are needed in the new place. Mm-hmm. I may spring for the entire office, depending on cost, see how much it's going to cost to get all of them.
All right. Are you going to get us them on Amazon?
I don't know. Amazon, I'm probably doing Costco in one trip, right?
You can go to Bed Bath & Beyond and get a 20% coupon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Do they deliver? Because I don't mean to listen.
You're going to want them delivered. You're not going to want them.
We do miss Sophia over here, though, so make sure to say hi.
Sophia, by the way, is the woman who takes care of cleaning up here. We certainly hope she comes with us. We're trying to get her tagged.
We need to put a sticker on her.
Yeah,
can we put a sticker on her?
Tag her and move her.
She's very good.
She's the best. All right, so we will find out very soon if I'm going to buy trash cans for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think you need to.
Is that my only hang-up about this? I guess it is.
Let's do colored ones. I don't want black. Let's do some nice colored ones.
Oh, I don't know.
Liven up the place.
No, we don't want colors. We need it to be all nice and... clean
black
line.
Or gray,
neutral, colors.
Ugly. You get a better deal on that anyway, I suppose.
On black or gray,
yeah,
I suppose. all right, 9:32. We're coming back with the headlines next on 720 WG.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Well, pretty much every Tuesday when he's available, we like to bug our friend Orion Samuelson and have him talk a little business, a little ag with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and I'm ready to be bugged anytime.
Appreciate that. All right, let's start with the basics. How are we looking today going into another market day?
Well, we're looking pretty good. The start of the crop year has turned out to be a lot better than we thought it would be when the rain kept falling. But the weekly crop progress report came out yesterday, pretty much in line with what traders were looking at. Corn planting virtually done for corn, 97%. And 78% of the upcoming corn crop is good to excellent. So soybean planting, 87% complete. That's compared to an average of 75%. Soybean conditions, first report of the year, showed 75% of the crop good to excellent. And then as far as the wheat crop is concerned, winter wheat conditions not that good, and down by 1%, 37% good to excellent. We have started harvesting wheat in Texas and Oklahoma, and now the combines will make their move north, and they'll travel all the way into the Canadian prairie provinces before the summer is over to finish the winter wheat harvest. So off to a pretty good start, my friend.
Are we past the problems of weather interrupting the planting? Are we in good shape there?
Yeah, we're in good shape planting-wise. We, of course, never depend on weather to stay perfect the year through to harvest, but it's off to a good start, and a lot of weather forecasters are saying it's going to suddenly turn dry about midsummer, so we're going to wait on that forecast and see if it turns out to be real. But, you know, we were so worried about all of the rains in the springtime delaying planting and not getting the crop in the ground. We do that every year, I think, and every year we do get the crop in the ground. And so off to a very good start.
The problem with the weather on the East Coast, with the epic flooding in Maryland, and these the thousand-year storms that seem to pop up in different places, they're horrific for the people locally.
Right.
But they don't necessarily have an impact on the rest of us, do they?
No, they don't. And, of course, when you're looking at the East Coast, you're not looking at that much agricultural production from the standpoint of the basic grains, soybeans, corn, wheat, and that. They don't grow that much of it on the East Coast. And much of the corn crop that they grow on the East Coast goes into livestock feed, particularly for the dairy cows. So, yeah, we're always concerned about bad weather and its impact on individual farming operations, but when it comes to the national picture, not that much problem at the moment. So we'll wait and see.
The steel tariffs are getting a lot of publicity, and rightfully so. We know that it could impact, for instance, the price of cars. Is there going to have any effect on farming that I'm not aware of?
Well, the impact of the trade retaliation game that we're currently playing, Canada, for example, decided to name maple syrup as one of the retaliatory crops in this trade progress because they, in Canada, produce 70% of the world's maple syrup. But generally, the retaliation takes place with more widely produced crops. The pork producers, for example, with China being the number one pork producer in the world, but also the number one consumer of pork in the world. Mexico being a big buyer of American pork, they are putting that on their list of retaliation. And so the silly game of trade retaliation continues, and I really don't know when it's going to quit.
Well, there's no upside to it, you know, and the president's statements and Congress's statements. I mean, the Democrats and Republicans, everybody's at fault here.
Yeah, they are, really. And, you know, for this to take place now during the NAFTA negotiations, which really should have been concluded at the beginning of the month, but it's nowhere near conclusion, and they wanted to get the NAFTA rewriting done by the Mexican presidential election. Not going to get it done because they're still working on it, and still far enough apart. Trade is a very difficult progress that seems to be always in contention. And the thing about trade is if you get a perfect trade agreement that's right for everybody in the minds of those countries, then you know you don't have a good trade agreement because every country is going to have to give up something that's precious to them in trade negotiations, and that's the difficult thing to do. I remember when the World Trade Organization, WTO, was put together to become the arbiter and the negotiator for trade disagreements. I think it took about 20 meetings to get that hammered out, and we were trying to hammer out NAFTA in about 2 or 3 years. Just can't do it.
Just by way of example setting, if we suddenly did no trade with Mexico or Canada, how big a problem is that?
A huge problem, because when NAFTA was signed into law by President Bill Clinton, it really started trade between the three countries. And agriculture in all three countries benefited, but different crops in different countries, again, because of that tit-for-tat situation. But the increase in trade between the three countries has been immense. Not saying that maybe a 20-year-old trade agreement doesn't need some rewriting. It probably does, but it's been a huge benefit, I think, to farmers in all three countries.
And the stock market today, what are you seeing there?
Stock market, a fairly quiet day because we did set a record yesterday in the close of NASDAQ trading for the day. Technology stocks bouncing back. But I don't know. The stock market every day has a new worry. One day they're worried about an increase in interest rates. The next day they're worried about China and the U.S. Having the trade dispute that it's having. And a week ago, when we started the trading after the 3-day holiday weekend, the market was sharply lower, and I couldn't figure out why, because I didn't see that much happening over the Memorial Day weekend. It was because of an election in Italy. And the next day, that was gone, and it was no longer a concern. So traders on Wall Street, grain market, livestock market, I have a new worry every day, it seems to me, and then the worries go away and we get back to trading more normally than reacting to that kind of activity.
We have spent a fair amount of time talking about this building that we're about to leave.
Yes.
And you have spent a fair amount of time in this building. Now, earlier today, we had Spike on. I don't want your answer now because I don't think we can do it justice in the amount of time we have. But give some thought to some of your favorite memories or stories about this place, because we need to take that up with you in the coming days.
Yeah, because I do have. The only thing I'll say now is, as far as I know, I'm the only person who worked in the Tribune when I arrived in 1960 and then went to Bradley Place a short time later when that building was completed, and then in the mid-80s came back to the tower. So, yeah, a lot of interesting happenings, met a lot of people. And at that time, on one day a week, on the Country Fair program, which is what the noon show was called then, I had on the fourth floor in the studio the full Bob Trendler Orchestra to play on my program, and that's the band that later became the Bozo Circus Man.
How about that?
Yeah.
That took a few engineers and a few microphones, huh?
It certainly did. And I had, 4 days a week, I had Eddie Mum and the Country Fair Boys with Elaine Rogers. Now, you probably don't know the name Elaine Rogers, but she is the lady who recorded "Where There's Life, There's Bud."
Oh, and is that right?
Yeah, she was used on every Budweiser commercial, but she was the vocalist on our Country Fair show at noon 4 days a week.
It's just a piece of some of the memories of this building. Do you remember when you were leaving Bradley Place to come back here? Was there mixed emotions then, or were people excited about getting back downtown?
I think it was a mix of both, because for people like me who drove in from the suburbs, it meant instead of getting off the Kennedy Expressway at Addison, we now had to ride it all the way to downtown and get into the downtown traffic in order to get to the tower. So we weren't happy about that, but that showcase studio really, I think, was an important ingredient in the WGN history book.
Long before the Today Show did theirs and all the other folks copied and did it in other places, long before television shows in general did this, WGN Radio had their own front and center Michigan Avenue show. I don't know anybody that did it first other than this place.
I don't either. And it was a real bonus, I think, particularly from the standpoint of audience exposure, but also commercial sales exposure. That was one of the reasons we wanted to move back downtown, to have a presence on Michigan Avenue, where a lot of the ad agencies were located.
Sure, sure. And we sit in the Allstate Showcase studio today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep thinking about some of those stories you can tell us, and the ones you can't tell on the air, call me with those.
I will.
Yes. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Orion Samuelson. We're back with Bill and Wendy shortly on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Every time I move, I lose when I look, I'm in. And every time I turn around, I'm back in the world.
Jeffrey Osborne and LTD. I was schooled by a listener on this. A while back, 9:58. I'm trying to figure out if I should buy new trash cans for everybody when we go over to the new place. What do we know?
Well, I have it on good authority from our sales staff that even those that didn't tag their trash cans because they didn't want their cracked trash cans to follow them, the trash cans got there anyway. And so,
mine
can
didn't.
I tell you
I
something?
Still got it.
I put we put our stickers on ours. They took the stickers off and left the garbage cans.
I don't understand. This is my own pet peeve. I don't understand why we're moving old trash cans
Seems
to this
crazy.
Beautiful new space.
Mine never made it there.
Trying to save as much as we can.
I'm trying to start a new real estate service where I go into brand new homes and throw crap on the floor.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right?
You'll make a fortune.
So we're trying to price out how many trash cans we need and whether or not I'm going to buy them for the staff as a housewarming gift.
Can't we rent them? They have the rent a plant.
There you go.
Do they still do rental plants?
Is that
still a business?
Did we bring the old plants over, I wonder?
We didn't because no one watered ours.
Oh.
Died.
Way to go. We didn't have anything living in our office.
What about the green room leather chairs that showed up down here? Are those going over?
I don't know.
I might take those.
Oh, you are?
I may.
Congratulations.
The green room is fully equipped over here, I think. I don't think there's room for more furniture.
And do you have an old trash can?
Yeah, I do.
Checking now.
Yours made it?
Would you like me to buy you a new trash can?
I would like a new trash can. I think that'd be wonderful.
Okay, we got to get a
can. Bigger. And with a lid.
I've got a meeting over at the new building, but it's not for like 45 minutes. So if I get over there fast enough, I'm just going to go to everyone's desk and do a trash can census.
Stop by. We're on the 16th floor, Steve.
I don't think that's true at all. Mr. Bertrand after Bill and Wendy next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy here. What are you doing today?
I was in charge of a neighborhood watch program that I would like to share with everyone.
Was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Break in? Suddenly you weren't watching?
No, it was just a one day only. And
why were you in charge for one day?
LaGrange Pet Parade was happening, and I was walking around with the new puppy Kona and Jimmy Mack, and I was in charge of a couple of things that I reported. If you see something, you say something.
Sounds like a crime report.
I have to do that. Also, Steve, there are kids that used to pretend that they were the Monkees. Can you believe such a thing? The band The Monkees. Real children pretending that they were the Monkees.
There was a guy that wore a wool cap.
What?
Yeah.
I don't believe
that. You didn't play Monkees?
I was Mike, too. I wore the wool cap, yeah.
That made me laugh so hard.
You didn't play Monkees?
No, but I was trying to imagine how you did.
We had a short cousin who was Davey. We had another cousin who had a 70s perm who was Mickey.
Yeah.
And I didn't figure that out because Mickey really didn't have a perm. And then one blonde guy who was Peter.
Did you ride?
And I had the wool hat, so I was Mike.
Did you ride your motorcycles inside? Because I used to love when they would do that. Yes. I think these are the ultimate rebels riding their motorcycles inside.
And then Samber brought this up earlier. Remember the bed that they pushed around on the street?
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't have a bed on wheels, oddly enough, but we had an old mattress that the cousins would get on and we'd drag each other.
Oh, that's fun.
You talk about fun in the country.
That's a good
time. See you tomorrow.